Good morning, it's 8 a.m. You're listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. This is regional news for the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubenik. The El Paso County Sheriff is disputing statements made last night, insinuating that the Black Forest fire might have been intentionally set. KRCC's Andrea Chalfin has more.
El Paso County Sheriff Terry Makita is disputing statements made by Black Forest Fire Chief Bob Harvey that this summer's wildfire that destroyed more than 500 homes and killed two people was caused by humans and, quote, likely intentional. Harvey told Colorado Springs CBS affiliate KKTV that he's been working with investigators, and that was the conclusion they reached. Sheriff Makita released a statement last night calling the remarks inappropriate and misleading and says national experts involved in the investigation aren't backing the claims. It's long been known that the Black Forest fire was human-caused, but Makita says the investigation is ongoing.
And that report comes to us from Rocky Mountain Community Radio, a collaboration of public and community radio stations across the state of Colorado. The board of the Grand Junction Regional Airport says it will conduct its own investigation into allegations that the airport was involved in fraud. As the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports, the board's move comes after FBI agents searched offices at the airport earlier this month and seized a number of financial documents. The feds are keeping quiet about the details of that search, saying only that it took place because of fraud allegations involving the airport's higher-ups. That's prompted the airport's board to look into what conduct prompted the search and how to correct that conduct. As the Daily Sentinel reports, some members of the airport's Users and Tenants Association have asked for Aviation Director Rex Tippett to be put on administrative leave until the federal investigation is finished. So far, the board says it's not ready to do that. Tippett was briefly questioned when the FBI searched the airport's offices on November 7th. The ballot recount that will determine the fate of a five-year fracking moratorium in Broomfield, Colorado, has been delayed, with no date set yet for when the recount will take place. The Denver Post reports the delay comes after some election observers raised concerns about whether or not some of the ballots cast in Broomfield were from ineligible voters. The residency rule for voting under state law is 22 days, but voters in Broomfield have to have lived there for 30 days to be eligible. As the Post reports, some election officials in the town have questioned whether some of the votes violated that 30-day rule. Early returns after Election Day this year showed the fracking moratorium had failed by a narrow margin, but late-arriving votes flipped that outcome, and at last count, the measure was ahead by a mere 13 votes. State law calls for a mandatory recount with that close of an outcome, but that recount's now being put on hold while officials can investigate their concerns. A spokeswoman for the city said by law, the recount has to take place by December 5th. And the greater sage grouse is in trouble. The bird looks like a large chicken and has an elaborate mating dance, and its habitat across the West has been under siege for several decades. There's been a big effort to help the bird. Now Garfield County officials are watching closely as the federal government decides how closely to protect a big chunk of its Colorado habitat. There's disagreement about how to do that, and huge restrictions on private and public land are at stake if officials get it wrong. Aspen Public Radio's Elise Thatcher has more.
This is a story about birds, land development, and the government, which can sound pretty dry. So here's something to keep in mind. It involves dancing and, well, sex. We'll get to the sexy part in just a minute, so keep that in mind. The bird in our story is the greater sage grouse. It's been described as a big chicken. The males stand about 2 feet tall. They live in Colorado and Wyoming and other states across the West. As their name implies, the birds live in sagebrush and other high plains areas, habitat that has changed over the last 50 years. David Boyd is with the Bureau of Land Management.
Increased vehicle traffic, increased human presence, increased noise seems to have a big impact on them. And then just increased infrastructure. So as you're going in and there's drilling rigs or power lines, that makes them really nervous.
While Colorado is an exception, the number of greater sage grouse has been dropping around the country. A big reason why is how the birds find mates, as in the only singles hookup is when big groups of grouse gather in the spring. As they have for generations, the sage grouse always meet in the same spot, year after year. In these places, they stage elaborate courtship dances, kind of like anyone who has a favorite bar to check out the single scene. For the grouse, it's much the same. When something new shows up and changes everything, like a new oil drilling rig, now they have to look for a new spot. Again, David Boyd.
If there's disturbance and it's not working for them anymore, then they stop going to them.
So greater sage grouse can't go back to their favorite place to meet that special someone. And in a tragic twist, it's difficult for the birds to find a new hot place to meet. Scientists aren't sure why. Colorado has spent about $40 million so far trying to help the bird thrive. There's a multi-state effort to get ranchers, landowners, and other land users to work together to make life as easy as possible for the greater sage grouse. Enter the federal government. The Bureau of Land Management will decide how it's going to handle much of the greater sage grouse habitat in Colorado that's on public land. The BLM is considering restricting oil and gas development, ranching, and other activities. This worries some people.
My name is Frank Daly, and we ranch on Divide Creek, South Silt, myself and my family. We also have a ranch on the north side of the river, north of Newcastle, and on Eastern Plains at Ray, Colorado.
He's also the incoming president of the powerful Colorado Cattlemen's Association. The cattlemen worry that in their efforts to save the grouse, new restrictions on BLM land will hurt their livelihoods, especially in Garfield County.
We have sagebrush around here, but it's interspersed with oak brush. When you get up a little higher, there's quakies and spruce and so forth. This just doesn't seem to be ideal sage-grouse habitat.
About 400 greater sage grouse live in the Garfield County area, and while Garfield County officials agree the habitat isn't ideal, they are okay with some new restrictions in some specific places. What they don't want are blanket restrictions across big chunks of the county. Commissioner Tom Jankowski says he doesn't support the BLM's preferred approach and argues Garfield County already has a plan for taking care of greater sage grouse habitat.
On federal lands, we have within the priority habitat for the greater sage grouse, we have a no surface occupancy restriction. And then on private land, we then ask for voluntary restrictions from the private landowners.
For its part, the BLM says it might approve part of the Garfield County plan. The federal agency is taking a kind of mix-and-match approach, hoping to create a plan for the sage-grouse habitat that helps the bird with a minimum impact on local businesses and jobs. Time is of the essence. Another federal agency must decide by 2015 whether the bird should be listed as endangered or threatened. If the bird is considered either, it would mean even harsher restrictions to ensure the greater sage grouse has enough room to dance. Elise Thatcher, Aspen Public Radio News.
And the BLM is taking comments on its habitat plan for the greater sage grouse. That deadline is in early December. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has decided it won't list the Gunnison Prairie Dog as threatened or endangered under the Endangered Species Act. As the Telluride Daily Planet reports, the agency made the decision last week after reviewing a petition from environmental groups that called for the animal to be protected. Fish and Wildlife recently completed a 12-month review of that petition, which said urbanization, oil and gas, and agriculture were just some of the threats to the prairie dog. In a statement, the agency said the prairie dog population in Gunnison is stable and not on the decline. Health and Human Service Director Chuck Lemoyne told Delta County Commissioners this week that Medicaid payments reached a new high in October. KVNF's Marty Derlin has more.
Most of the increase in Delta County's Medicaid load last month came from the North Fork, according to Lemoyne.
We're up to $1.52 million in Delta County for last month, and that's a new high.
That's Medicaid.
Yes, sir. And that is the area that is affected by the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. The concern that I have is that it's too soon for us to blame any of that on the Affordable Care Act. More than half of that was represented by the options for long-term care unit in the North Fork for services trying to keep people out of nursing home care.
But as the new health law kicks in, LeMoyne expects the Medicaid figure to rise even more because of expanded eligibility.
With the Affordable Care Act and Medicaid, beginning October 1st, they expanded the Medicaid population from 133% to 138% and opened it up to single individuals that had previously not been eligible because they didn't have children. And so it's a small group, but I'm expecting an uptick. As you know from the Board of Health meetings, Pat Sullivan, our nurse practitioner, had said she anticipates an unmet need showing up very soon with individuals that she has seen through the health department who also require colonoscopies, mammographies, and other diagnostic tests that before, when they did not have insurance to cover them, they just never followed through with. And so I'm anticipating that this $1.5 million isn't the new high for very long.
Commissioner Doug Atchley said constituents were concerned about the impact of the Affordable Care Act, and LeMoyne expressed his doubts about how well the new law will work, despite the help it will offer some.
You know, if you've got pre-existing conditions, if you were afraid to leave a job, you couldn't retire because you had to keep a spouse covered, these are the people that will really benefit from the Affordable Care Act. I just don't know if that will outweigh the numbers who will be enrolled, because that's how you pay for that high-risk population.
For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
As the seasons continue to change here in western Colorado, remember you can post your observations, videos, and photos of the weather at thealmanac.org. The Almanac is a part of KVNF's crowdsourced climate reporting project, I See Change. You're listening to KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio. Stay tuned for The Sweet Sound. For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubinick.